The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Can we forget about the things I said when I was drunk?
What's going on, everybody? Another Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast here on AM 970. The Answer, and we've got a great show for you tonight. Craft beer guests, that's plural, that'll be joining me this hour. And the usual news and news notes to get to, but first, how can you follow me? You have to forgive me, folks. We have a new studio board in here, and the microphone in my ears makes it sound very tinny and hollow, and so it throws me off a little bit. So if I get a little distracted during the show, please. They've been trying to fix it now for 2 weeks and can't get it done. I don't know what's going on. But how can you follow me? Very easily on Twitter at Al Gattulo, Instagram at Gattulo, GATTULLO, Facebook.com/AGCraftBeerCast via email at AlbertG@NYCRadio.com. And don't forget iTunes and Google Play. Just do a search for AG Craft Beer Cast. You can find all the shows on those two platforms. We're also Alexa ready. Just say to your Alexa-enabled device that you want to hear the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer, and bingo, you get the Craft Beer Cast right from there. Now, coming up in 10 minutes, New York City Beer Week taking place February 23rd, or should I say the kickoff to New York City Beer Week is taking place on that date at the Brooklyn Expo. They're going to have two sessions. It's going to be a fantastic time. I was there last year. It was great. Kyle Hurst from Big Alice Brewing and Kelly Taylor from Kelso Brewing will join me to chat all about this event, what the collaboration beer is going to be this year, and so many of the other events that are going to be taking place during New York City Beer Week. Then in 20 minutes, Jonathan Hack, he works for AB InBev. He's also a movie producer. There's a new documentary coming out on Friday, March 1st. It's called Beers of Joy, and we'll chat about the film. We're also going to have tickets to the screening to give away, too, so you want to stay tuned for that because you will get to win tickets to the screening Beers of Joy, and that is taking place on Friday, March 1st. That, again, is coming up in about 20 minutes from now. But we have got lots and lots of beer news to get to here, and I don't know if we're going to be able to cram it all in one segment. However, let us start off with the state of Utah. Apparently, beers with a lower alcohol content may soon become a thing of the past in Utah. During a hearing last week, Senate Minority Leader Karen Maines summed up the reason her colleagues were considering a bill to change the legal alcohol content in beer sold in Utah from 3.2 to 4.8%.
If we don't do this, the selection's going to be smaller, correct?
That's correct.
Now, the other person there, that was Maine Stevenson, who is the sponsor of this bill. The Senate Business and Labor Committee unanimously passed the bill, sending it to the Senate floor for a vote. The change is being proposed after several states stopped selling 3.2 beer, prompting brewers like Anheuser-Busch to say they were not going to make special batches just for Utah anymore. It's just not cost-effective. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints does not support a bill that would virtually eliminate that beer in Utah. Republican State Senator Jerry Stevenson, who, as I mentioned, is sponsoring the bill, says he's not surprised by the church's position. The church released a statement earlier this week saying they could not support Senate Bill 132 in its current form. However, Kate Bradshaw of the Responsible Beer Choice Coalition says the bill is a small change that will bring a big benefit to consumers.
It's respectful of Utah's unique culture. It's respectful of public safety concerns, but it addresses the significant market pressures of being the last significant 3-2 beer market.
So we will see what happens. Clearly that the church doesn't support this, but we will see what happens. It's pushed through, and we will see if the governor of Utah eventually ends up signing the bill. Heineken USA announcing the March 2019 relaunch of Newcastle Brown Ale. It'll be brewed by Lagunitas. It's a new brew that celebrates the altogether uncommon by bringing together a unique blend of pale and roasted malts with American hops. The new liquid is being brewed with American Centennial and Chinook hops fermented using Lagunitas' English House Ale yeast, a medium color brown ale, smooth, crisp, slightly roasty, and complete with a delicious hoppy twist, not too sweet and not too bitter. Jeremy Marshall, who is Lagunitas' brewmaster, is quoted as saying, "We are not known for malty beers. We are really honored and excited to reimagine the new Newcastle Brown Ale using our malts, hops, and yeast for a silky, smooth, flavorful experience." Of course, they're going to be branching out digitally and all over the place, marketing Lagunitas beer. It will be produced in both Lagunitas' breweries in Petaluma, California, and Chicago, Illinois. It'll be available in 12-ounce, 6, 12, and 24-pack bottles and a 7.75-gallon slim steel keg, and it will continue to be marketed by Heineken and distributed throughout its network. Alesmith Brewing introducing a new hazy IPA as part of their 2019 year-round offerings. As the name suggests, a juice stand delivering intense notes of tangerine, blueberry, bubblegum, and tropical fruits with a full-bodied hazy brew. Bubblegum. Interesting. I don't know if I've ever had a beer with the taste of bubblegum in it. Rounded out by a smooth malt character, softy bitterness, this flavorful beer is sure to become a new favorite for the hazy IPA fan. This, of course, from the Alesmith press release. It is out now. Juice stand, wholesale distribution to retail accounts will be coming up this week. And let's see, they're also introducing new cans and bottles in terms of the labeling, so you'll be able to find it easier. This, of course, features Juice Stand, a new IPA, a looped IPA, and a new double IPA, Opus 2. Juice Stand, again, is coming up this week throughout its distribution network, and then followed by Looped In IPA and Opus 2 in the coming months. So good stuff coming out from the folks at Alesmith in San Diego, or actually, where is it? Miramar, if I'm not mistaken. As we continue on here with our news and notes segment on the Al Cthulhu Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. So this was a story earlier this week, very interesting. Bridgeport Brewing, again, I'm not well-versed in everything in the brew world. But this is a Portland, Oregon-based craft beer company and has ceased brewing beer. Apparently, it was purchased by Texas-based Gambrinus Company in 1995. It has ceased brewing operations. It is closing its brew pub on March 10th. Approximately 87 employees are going to be terminated. They will receive severance packages. They've experienced a decline in sales in recent years. This is a company that has been around for 35 years and kind of, started the whole craft beer craze. Not, I shouldn't say started, but was one of the big ones in the craft beer, beer craze in Portland, Oregon. And it's very interesting. They had, about 2 years ago, they had laid off 13 brewing staff positions. They rebranded. They rolled out a new marketing campaign. They invested a lot in the brew pub, but again, they weren't getting people to come in and drink their beers. And it's funny. They didn't distribute nationwide. They sold just 150,000 cases last year, just a little under 11,000 barrels across Oregon, as well as parts of Washington, Northern California, and New Mexico. The older brands didn't attract younger drinkers. They had a couple of IPAs in their stable, a Pilsner, a Cream Ale. But again, I think this is the problem that we're finding, is that we are finding more and more breweries. If you're not, and I don't want to say ahead of the curve, but if you're not in tune with what your consumer wants, you're going to get left behind. There are a lot of choices for people out there, whether it's local beers, whether it's national beers. There are a lot of different choices. And a lot of times, people are going to go, I'm going to try that brand that I know, like, say, a Lagunitas or a Stone, as opposed to something else. You got to be very careful about that. Now, our friends from Weyerbacher's, two interesting stories here. So Weyerbacher always puts out this Sunday morning stat. Well, this year, for the first time since they started putting this out in 2015, Weyerbacher will not be releasing Sunday Morning Stout. They took it out of the lineup. They're kind of taking a break from it. They say they're going to release it next year. They're going to be introducing in March a variation of Sunday Morning Stout called Chocolate Pretzel Sunday Morning Stout, a barrel-aged coffee beast, lots of cocoa nibs, cocoa powder, lactose, and unrefined sea salt, lots of roast and dark chocolate, playing along with the bourbon, the coffee, and the vanilla. This, again, will be released in mid-March. Very, very limited production on this beer. So it'll be interesting to see if it's just going to be a brewery-only release or something else. And speaking of Weyerbacher, another story that came out earlier this week, and you never want to see this, but again, it goes to my point of if you're not, you know, in tune or ahead of the curve or kind of, and again, I hate to say that, that ahead of the curve, but if you're not in tune with what people want, you're going to get left behind a little bit. So Weyerbacher, now this brewery has been around for 24 years. They make very good beer, but they're not known as an IPA company. They make big boozy beers. That's their deal. So they're reorganizing. They have laid off two longtime salespeople to trim costs. They're seeking new investment dollars. Josh Lampe, the company's COO, says we're in the process of reorganizing a little bit. We're getting some funding from investors. As part of that, we had to get the company healthy before the investment came in. Sales volume wasn't there. We haven't been able to meet production. We had to redirect assets to cover that. And they have about 30 employees. They produced about 15,000 barrels of beer in 2018, down from a high of 18,000 barrels. So this is, you know, it's a unique thing. Again, mid-sized craft breweries are having issues keeping up their sales volume. And we got this information from Philly Beer World, a great resource. You know, Joe Sixpack's Philly Beer World. You should definitely check it out for any type of Philly beer news. But this is a big problem. So, you know, we're seeing this more and more lately that mid-level breweries are not able to keep up with what's going on. That's a shame. I would like to see Weyerbacher succeed and get even bigger. We shall see what happens. It's a short ride over the bridge, in Pennsylvania off of 78 in Easton. It's a great little place. Go visit it. Go buy some beer there. You will enjoy it. When we come back after a short break, the good folks from Big Alice Brewing, Kyle Hurst, and Kelly Taylor from Kelso Brewing will join me to talk all about New York City Beer Week. This is the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer.
Larry Elder explains the numbers in Virginia.
By a 21-point margin, blacks believe he should not step down versus believing that he should step down. Among whites, however, it's 50-50.
So whites are more offended by the photographs than blacks are in Virginia.
The assumption was that black people are going to be far more offended by this than whites. They aren't. You know why? Because they know it's nothing.
The Larry Elder Show, weeknights at 7, right before Joe Walsh at 9 on AM 970. The Answer.
Have you ever seen a pest controller spraying chemicals in your home? It makes you wonder, if their chemicals are safe, then why do they suit up and wear respirators only to leave you to walk back in unprotected? G'day, I'm Scott from Plug-In Pest-Free, and I'm here to tell you there's a better way. In an age where we now have the choice to drive electric cars, you too can electronically rid your home or business of unwanted rodents and pests. The answer is Plug-In Pest-Free. 100% chemical-free, Plug-In Pest-Free is your safest bet for your family and pets. Our bestseller, the Plug-In Pest-Free Pro, will cover up to 4,000 square feet. Now that's fair dinkum. So order yours today at gopestfree.com. Use promo code SAVE20 for 20% off plus free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's gopestfree.com, promo code SAVE20. Don't spray and regret, plug in and forget. GoPestFree.com today.
We all know the secret to the best Italian food is the sauce. And no one has sauce as good as Michael's of Brooklyn. Their sauce is made from scratch, using only the best ingredients. But don't take our word for it. Stop at any of your local supermarkets and pick up a jar or listen to the Joe Piscopo Morning Show every Wednesday for a chance to win a whole case of Michael's delicious, authentic, and fresh sauce. You can also enter online at am970theanswer.com. That's am970theanswer.com. Good luck.
Imagine doing one thing that gives you an entirely different perspective about your place in the world. Think it would be worth it? Dennis Prager here inviting you to join me for a 10-day Stand with Israel tour, a tour through the land of Israel in December 2019. Come with me to get firsthand insight into Israel's fascinating past and promising future. Walk the ancient temple steps, sail on the Sea of Galilee, and so many more unforgettable moments. Return home inspired, renewed, and empowered. If you've ever dreamed of seeing Israel, this is your opportunity. With expert guides and important lectures at key sites, we'll be together in the comfort and safety of luxurious accommodations the whole time. Join me for a life-changing adventure to give you a renewed sense of purpose.
For more information and to register for this trip, go to am970theanswer.com. That's am970theanswer.com.
Joe Piscopo wakes you up at 6 a.m.
Kevin McCullough takes you home at 5 p.m.
Weekdays on AM 970, The Answer.
Welcome back to the Yonkatulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. Can you believe it? A year has passed since the last New York City Beer Week. Well, it's right around the corner, and my next guests are on the program to talk all about it. The kickoff bash with two sessions for the first time takes place on Saturday, February 23rd at the Brooklyn Expo. VIP sessions for both of them. The general admission starts at 12:30 for the first session and goes to 3:30, and then 6:30 to 9:30 for the night session. Of course, for the VIP sessions, you get in an hour earlier to the VIP session, and you also get the collaborative beer four-pack, which is very cool, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment or so. NYCbrewed.com is the website for more information as well as to purchase tickets, and they are going fast, so make sure you get them right away. Let me welcome into the program Kyle Hurst from Big Alice Brewing and Kelly Taylor from Kelso Beer Company. Gentlemen, how are you guys?
Doing great. Morning.
All right, so much going on in and around New York City Beer Week, but the kickoff event is the big deal where you can sample so many different beers. Why did you guys decide to expand to two sessions this year?
Well, we sold out last year with one session, so we thought, well, let's give everybody an opportunity, so we blew it up.
And the Brewers Guild does a lot to raise awareness for local beers. We've seen a huge jump from a lot of different breweries over the last year in New York City alone, and of course, nationwide, we've seen some attrition, but we've seen a lot of increases in breweries all over the place, especially in New York, and the Guild has been a major part of that. Do you guys agree?
I'd say for sure. You know, Kelly has been part of the Guild from its very beginning. Big Alice, we opened about 6 years ago, and there was 8 or 10 members at that time, and today we're over 40. So there's been a really significant growth in the last 5 or 6 years, and particularly the last couple.
And for those who don't know, what does the Guild do to help out its brewery members?
Primarily, we're an industry group that focuses on promoting our brands and craft beer specifically in New York City, while also providing valuable resources to each other, just as an industry group, to help foster that growth that we've seen and make it more meaningful, more stable.
We're talking with Kyle.
And one of the things that's great about the craft beer community as a whole, and the Guild exemplifies this, is that we talk to each other. we sit down, we talk about problems that our businesses might have, challenges in the market, and odds are somebody else at the table has had the problem and had to resolve it. And so it's a really great opportunity to bounce ideas off each other and kind of, it's kind of like a self-help group for beer makers.
and wouldn't it be great if everybody could do that? Unfortunately, in a lot of things in life, it doesn't happen that way. I mean, this is one of the things that I love about the beer community is that you guys do have, obviously you have shared interests. Everybody's trying to make a buck. We get that. But there are similar interests when it comes to having to deal with governmental regulations or something happens, there's a fire at the brewery or something goes on, and you guys all kind of, get together to help one another. It's never stepping on somebody to get to the next thing. It's always, hey, what can we do to help everyone as a whole? Because let's face it, if one succeeds, you guys all succeed, right?
Absolutely. It's definitely a rising tide.
Sure.
Mentality.
I mean, we've stepped on each other quite a bit. Don't get me wrong.
We're used to it.
But, at the end of the day, and I think Kyle will agree, that this ultimately, for craft beer people, this is a labor of love.
Right.
It's a lot of work and a lot of investment and a lot of time for minimal return, realistically.
I think that's what people don't understand, those that try to get into the business right away to say, oh, I'm going to make a quick buck and get out. It is a labor of love. Sure, you make a profit and you support your family and you're supporting others, but in the end, it's if you're in this business just to make a buck, it's not the right business to be in. Now, we're talking with Kyle Hurst from Big Alice Brewing and Kelly Taylor from Kelso Beer Company. New York City Beer Week kicks off Saturday, February 23rd at the Brooklyn Expo. Kickoff Bash has two sessions for the first time. It takes place Saturday, February 23rd, as I said, at the Brooklyn Expo. VIP sessions for both, 12:30 to 3:30 for general admission and 6:30 to 9:30 for the night session. We're here on the Yonkatulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. So let's talk about your two breweries that'll be at the event. Kelly, what are you guys bringing from Kelso to sample?
Well, Well, anytime we do an event, we bring one beer that we bring was our original, our Nut Brown Lager. That's the first beer we did in 2006, and we still think it's relevant today. And then the next one we're bringing is a smash beer, a beer that a lot of different breweries in the city are doing a smash beer. It's a state malt and state hop, 100% made with New York State ingredients. So we're bringing an IPA with hops that we found that are called New York State hops called Kelly Cascade. So we thought it would be appropriate to use those hops and bring a Kelly beer.
Now that's pretty cool. Kyle, what's going to be on tap from Big Alice Brewing?
So we're bringing a couple of beers as well. So we are about to location in Brooklyn. So we're bringing a brand new beer that kind of connects our Queens and Brooklyn locations, and it is named the Brooklyn Queens Connector. So it is a hazy New England style double IPA. That's a new release, and then we do a rotation of sour beers that are fruited. So we'll be bringing a blackberry black currant sour.
Ooh, I like that. See, I'm starting to get an affinity for sours now, so I like that. That's definitely one that I want to try. Now, the collaboration between many of you was brewed at Innerborough. What style of beer is the collab going to be?
Kyle, I'll let you jump in on that one. I wasn't able to make it for collaboration day.
But it's a double IPA. Lots of hops, lots of, you know, really hazy, juicy, just like all the kids like these days.
Yeah, right. Is it similar to the one from last year? Because the last year's one was fantastic. Or you guys aren't sure?
Yeah, I mean, I would guess it's going to be somewhat similar. You know, that's the thing with that New England style IPA is it's pretty they're big, juicy, lots of hops. So they're similar in that component, though the different varietals of hops will lend slightly different flavors, but you still get that big kind of juice bomb thing going.
Gotcha. And do you guys know if the beer is going to be available for purchase outside of the event at the Brooklyn Expo?
I believe it's just at the expo. Mm-hmm. Will there be some in the tap rooms, Kyle? I don't recall.
I believe because they're more brewed, anything that doesn't get sold or pre-sold, I believe they will be selling, but not until after the event.
Okay, so
we made a certain amount.
Right,
those are going to the VIP ticket people.
Gotcha.
And then if we sell out the VIPs, then we won't have any left. If we don't sell out the VIPs, then it goes back. Whatever overage they have, they'll sell in the tap room. But I think we'll know more about that as we get closer to the event.
Right, right. Last question from me for each of you, and we're talking with Kyle Hurst from Big Alice Brewing and Kelly Taylor from Kelso Beer Company, of course, the New York City Beer Week kicking off next Saturday, February 23rd at the Brooklyn Expo. Out of all the events that take place all over during Beer Week in New York City, which runs until March 4th, which event, aside from the kickoff, are you guys looking forward to? Kyle, you first?
For me, mine is very personal. We're opening our Brooklyn location on the second Friday of Beer Week on March 1st. So that one is a very specific Big Alice. We're excited about that. We've been working on it for a little over a year. But, to take the personal side of it out, probably our closing ceremony or closing award show, which is at the Randolph Dumbo location, where all of the New York City Smash beers will be poured. And Smash typically means single malt and single hop. In this case, it means state malt and state hop. So, anywhere from 10 to 15 of the New York City brewers will make a beer that's 100% New York State ingredients and be pouring those all in one spot. And have room for people to vote on their favorites. And there's awards throughout the week and all of that kind of culminates at that event at the end of the week.
That's very cool. Kelly, what are you looking forward to?
Well, there's a couple different things. I mean, one, I'm doing our fifth beer trolley. In conjunction with Chris Kuzme over at Fifth Hammer. So we get the an old kind of retro 1950s style trolley, and we visit four different breweries and kind of do like a little brewery crawl with Chris and I.
That's cool.
So we're doing that on the 26th. And then the whole week, there's a big competition the whole week that ends with that that brunch that Kyle was talking about, the Rupert's Cup competition. Named after Jacob Rupert, which is a brewer in New York City at the 1920s. But it's a people's choice favorite breweries and favorite beers and favorite events. It's voting all week long at Rupert's Cup. I think it's rupertscup.com, definitely on nycbrewed.com. And people can just go online and vote for their favorite stuff of Beer Week. And then we have the awards at the end. And that's one of my favorite favorite aspects of Beer Week, because it just kind of brings everybody in to voice their opinion of what's happening,
Right. That, see, that, no, that's very cool. And guys, I have to tell you, and we have to wrap it up here, but I have to tell you, I attended last year the event. I thought it was fantastic. I had such a great time. I have to say, getting to try Prison City's beer, and of course, there's New York City beer there, there's going to be New York State beer there, and there's also going to be some breweries from out of state that are going to be there. But what was super cool was I got to try Prison City beer for the first time, and I asked the guy, I said, hey, you got any of that Mass Riot? And the guy looked around. He went down, pulled out a crowler, and said, I'm only supposed to give this if you ask me for it. And it was unbelievable. So it was, for me, it was worth the trip just to try that, because to get out to Auburn, New York would take forever. So I'm looking forward to next week. Kyle Hurst from Big Alice Brewing and Kelly Taylor from Kelso Beer Company. New York City Beer Week kicks off Saturday, February 23rd at the Brooklyn Expo. It's got two sessions, 12:30 to 3:30 for general admission, 6:30 to 9:30 for the night session. Just go to nycbrewed.com to get tickets and all the information there. Guys, thanks so much for joining me tonight. Appreciate it. We'll see you both next Saturday.
Thank you very much. Looking forward to it.
You got it. When we come back, Jonathan Hack, one of the producers of a new beer documentary called Beers of Joy, is going to join me right in the studio on the Al Gattullo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970 The Answer.
It's lightly raining and 34 degrees. What's going on? We have the answer. Disgraced former Congressman Anthony Weiner is a free man. He was released from federal prison after serving time for sexting with a 15-year-old girl in 2017. He was sentenced to 21 months in prison but may have been released early for good behavior. NBC New York is reporting it's not clear where he is staying, but is said to be in the custody of the Residential Reentry Management Office in Brooklyn. He had been doing time at the Federal Medical Center Devons in Eyre, Massachusetts. Police are investigating after a 9-year-old girl hung herself in the Bronx. Cops made the discovery shortly before noon on Saturday at the Bronx River Houses on East 174th Street. Officials say she apparently hung herself with a belt following an argument with her mother. The girl, who was not identified, was taken to St. Barnabas Hospital, where she was pronounced dead. In sports, well, the Devils did beat the Sabres 4-1, but the Rangers unfortunately fell to the Penguins this afternoon, and 6-5 was that final score. Traffic delays. We've got that crash over in the Bronx on the Deegan right now, northbound by Yankee Stadium. Looks like two lanes are blocked. Traffic is stop and go from 149th Street. There was also a crash on the Cross Bronx between the Deegan and Jerome Avenue, but that's been cleared. Traffic at the George Washington Bridge looks like it's not a problem. Inbound on the upper deck. Lower level moving without any delays. Keep in mind, lower level and Palisades approach easy pass customers only until 6 in the morning. Holland Tunnel, Lincoln Tunnel, a good ride. Over in New Jersey, 94 westbound between Friedengrendel Road and Ramsey Road is closed because of an accident and downed wires. This will also affect the eastbound side through the same area. Weather for tonight, snow and sleet until at least 1 a.m. and then rain after that, lows of about 32 degrees. Tomorrow you'll see a 50% chance of rain, mainly before 1 in the afternoon, mostly cloudy, high around 36. Sunny, high near 38 on Tuesday. Now you know what's going on. I'm Amy Salerno and AM 970 The Answer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions are posted at www.textrules.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply.
There's a mute button on your cell and one on your TV remote. Don't you wish there was one on your partner's snoring too? Thankfully, now there is. Mute is a comfortable nasal breathing device that increases airflow through the nose by gently opening the airways. You'll get more air through your nose, so you'll breathe less through your mouth, which is often the cause of snoring. And thanks to Mute, less snoring means more sleep for me.
Hit the mute button on your partner's snoring. Available at Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid and other fine stores. To get a valuable coupon, text the word MUTE to 246810. Text MUTE to 246810. For more information, go to mutesnoring.com. Mute. Breathe more. Snore less. Sleep better.
AM 97. The Answer.
If you don't like this cat, Joe Bonamassa, there's something wrong with you, man. I saw this cat when he was 16 years old in Wildwood, New Jersey, playing with Sammy Hagar's son. That's how far I go back with that guy. Welcome back to the Al Gattullo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. My next guest, kind enough to come into the studio, and yes, he does work for AB InBev, but he's also the producer of a new documentary. It's coming out in theaters on Friday, March 1st. The documentary is called Beers of Joy. Beersofjoymovie.com is the website for more information. By the way, we're going to have tickets to give away, I think, at the end of this interview. So stay tuned. Now, let me welcome back to the program Jonathan Hack. John, so great to have you in studio again. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, right off the bat, love the trailer. You'd sent me the link to the trailer. Congrats on being a producer of this film. And it seems like this has been a film that has been a long time coming. How long did it take to make this?
It is. The concept came about January 2017.
Wow.
And so from then, it's been an exciting, informative journey to get to where we are right now.
Nice. But a labor of love here.
An absolute labor of love.
All right. Part of this film is a history lesson on how beer was created and made. Now, what I got from the trailer is that beer is inside all of us since, of course, it is man-made. The movie tells the story of four people on their journey through the glass of beer, as it were. Who are these four people?
It's an all-over love letter to beer, right? So the four main characters are Tanya Cornett, who is an innovation brewer out of 10 Barrel Brewing in Bend, Oregon. Sean Paxton, who is the self-coined homebrew chef, who does a great deal deconstructing beer recipes and taking them down to their bare elements and kind of building them back together, looking at beer and food pairings, looking at fermented foods, how they match together with the beers. Mm. Kind of a really interesting story there. And through Sean, we're actually able to go back in time and look at those origins of beer in the United States, which is a really, even before the United States was the United States.
Right.
We kind of trace them back through the 1800s, 1700s, 1600s, ultimately beginning the journey in Plymouth, Massachusetts.
Right.
Then there's Ryan Daly, who is a beer educator and also works for AB. Mm-hmm. And we follow his journey as he tries to become the, 14th or 15th Master Cicerone in the world.
Wow.
Which is no small feat by any means.
Right. Very difficult test to pass.
Incredibly. Probably less than a 5% pass rate, I'd say.
Which is why there are only 14 of them. So
Exactly. And the fourth character is Joe Vogelbacher. He is the CEO and co-founder of Sugar Creek Brewing Company in North Carolina.
Okay.
Really interesting stuff doing down there. They're doing a lot of Belgian beers, mm-hmm. and they're doing them really well.
Nice.
Award-winning Belgian beers. Joe himself is a nuclear engineer. He's done a couple tours in the service.
Wow.
Just young, smart guy. And he, too, is on pursuit of this Master Cicerone title.
Oh, very cool. We're talking with Jonathan Hack from AB InBev. He's also the producer of a new film. It's called Beers of Joy. It's coming out in theaters Friday, March 1st. Beersofjoymovie.com is the website for more information. We're here on the Algatulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. So I noticed in the trailer a number of breweries that you travel to in Europe. One of them, if I saw on the trailer correctly, was Weinenstephaner, which is an excellent place to start. They started brewing beer in the year 1040. That's right, 1040. Why start there?
You know, why not trace it back as far as possible, mm-hmm. right? We want to get to the origins. That's along Tanya's storyline. She is in pursuit of an incredible Berliner Weiss, and she follows her path through Germany to find her way back to the roots of that. And so we went back as far as possible to kind of dig into those roots, understand the brewing methods and ingredients that were involved back in the day, understand the Reinheitsgebot, mm-hmm. which is, you know, the purity brewing laws. You can only use the four main holy ingredients for beer. So we're able to track Tanya's journey starting there and kind of poking through Germany and parts of Italy. It's just really beautiful.
And people wouldn't think Italy being a beer haven. Right, I mean, Germany is really obviously is the mother load or the home of beer because obviously in back in the what was it? God, the 1500s, 1600s, Germans brought beer here to New York City, and then of course it expanded elsewhere, also in Plymouth, Massachusetts. You know, the English brought their beer recipes over, but why Italy? That's interesting. I'm a little. I know that Italy does do some good beers, but it's funny how why did she head to Italy to learn more about this?
Good question. I mean, that is not the obvious route, right? I think you bring up a great point with Germany,
Belgium,
amongst, sure, its roots. And, you know, Egypt about 8,000 years before
Sure.
But, you know, I don't want to give too much away in Tanya's mm-hmm. journey, but we're looking more, not so much at brewing technique necessarily, but we're looking at in the Italian piece specifically, but we're looking at one very specific method that they're using there. Hmm. That she feels will very much complement and heighten her Berliner Weiss.
There we go. Now, the two people who the advanced Cicerones, and they're attempting to pass, as you spoke about, the prestigious Master Cicerone exam, which is beer's equivalent to wine's Master Sommelier, one of the most difficult tests in the world. And again, you mentioned that this was a test that a lot of people fail. Why do they fail it?
You know, it's the most involved test that I've ever encountered. So when I first entered the beer industry, I was the head of education for our division, and I had the beer educators, you know, reporting into our team, and we were charged with educating consumers and wholesalers and retailers and this whole bit. And the holy grail of all that knowledge collected was this Cicerone path of learning. Mm-hmm. And there's four levels to it. So there's a certified beer server, certified Cicerone, advanced Cicerone, and then, of course, the master Cicerone, which, you know, is nearly untouchable.
Right.
And this is a mastery of so many things beyond just ingredients or styles. I mean, we get into, like, brewing techniques, and we get into draft systems and tasting and off flavors and food pairing. I mean, it is really like a 360 view of beer and all its parts.
So you could see why people would, you know, it's not just, you're not just a master at one of these things. You really have to be a master of all of these things. You have to know all of these things inside and out. And obviously, you know, that takes time to learn, which is why there are only 13 of them, right, in the world. So
exactly.
There you go. Talking with Jonathan Hack from AB InBev. He's also the producer, a new film, Beers of Joy. It's coming out in theaters Friday, March 1st. Beersofjoymovie.com is the website for more information. You can check out the trailer there as well. We're here on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. John, in your opinion, you've been working on this film for a couple of years. Why do you think beer unites so many people?
You know, for so many reasons, I think. I think it's something to celebrate over. I think it is something to... it's a great communicator. I think people come together. I think it's a conversation starter. I mean, beyond being super deep into it and a beer nerd like I think you and I both are, mm-hmm. Even on a very base level, I think it's just a wonderful place for people to gather. And we see that throughout history, which is really interesting. I mean, from its origins, as I referred to earlier in Egypt, right? 10,000 right. years ago, I mean, people were brewing this stuff as a sustainer of life. And well into the 1600s, they were brewing this as a sustainer of life.
Right.
I mean, this is your carbohydrates, your energy in the field.
This was your water for most people.
This is
I
your
mean, water.
Water
was terrible. There was no sanitation. So a lot of times they drank a very low alcohol type of beer in order to sustain themselves with quenching their thirst.
That's
couldn't
it.
Drink the water.
No, I mean, well, if you boiled it, you probably would have been better.
Right.
But,
right.
you know, all of these magical elements came together in beer and it purified the water, and here we are.
Yeah, that's it. Is a nice thing. It is. It's funny because I had a friend of mine the other night. He texted me. They were doing a tap takeover at the brewery by the restaurant by my house, and he says, "I half expected to see you here when I walked in, and I was fighting a cold." And I said, "Ah, better not do that. You know, not a good idea." But it is. That's the thing. It's you go to your local pub or your local brewery or whatever, and you kind of have that community feeling where you can get together and talk over a beer, or maybe you're not drinking a beer, maybe you're just having a bottle of water, but whatever. The whole point is to be in that room and have that conversation with whatever's going on in town or what's going on in somebody's personal life. So I definitely get that. Now, the last question for me, aside from the finished product, of course, what was your favorite part of the whole process of putting this together?
No one's asked me that before. You know, it's truly a love letter to beer. And for me, from very early on, it was important to keep this, you know, a really brand agnostic approach at celebrating this beverage that we all love so much.
Right.
So just having the opportunity to gather this cast and this incredible creative team and try to look at beer from a different angle and really pen something and then have it completely, you know, thrown all over the place in documentary style, of
right.
course, right? You know, that we think is so special and really is a category play, right? It's something that mm-hmm. we hope elevates beer on all levels. You know, this is something for everyone.
Yeah, so not just mass beer, locally produced, you know, mid-level, whatever it is. It's a love letter to all of beer. It's not just to one specific type of beer.
It is. It's a pursuit story, beer being secondary to it, I think. I mean, we see the passion of the four main characters and all the incredible supporting cast from historians to brewmasters and everywhere in between. And it really is a human tale that you're able to connect with these people. And that's exactly what beer does.
Absolutely. And I'm looking forward to seeing it. Now, we have some tickets, I believe, to the giveaway for the premiere of Beers of Joy. It's coming out in theaters Friday, March 1st. So how many pairs, maybe two pairs of tickets can we do?
Let's do two pairs of tickets.
All right,
absolutely.
Two pairs of tickets. So the first two people who can email me at albertg@nycradio.com, that's albertg@nycradio.com, with the correct answer, wins a pair of tickets to the premiere. We're going to send two pairs to two different people. I mentioned a brewery that is in the film and the year they started brewing the beer. A little while ago, I mentioned the brewery that is in the film and the year they started brewing the beer. What year did this brewery start making beer? Again, what year was did the brewery start making the beer? Email me, albertg@nycradio.com, with the correct answer. And the first two people to do so, and I'll know by your timestamp, you will get a pair of tickets to the premiere of Beers of Joy. My guest, Jonathan Hack from AB InBev, and he's also the producer of this new film, Beers of Joy, coming out in theaters Friday, March 1st. Beersofjoymovie.com is the website for more information. John, thanks so much for joining me in studio. Very much appreciate it. And thank you for the couple of beers I'm going to sample over this weekend. That sounds great. They look really good.
You got it. Thanks so much for having me.
You got it. When we come back, time for Suds and Duds on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer.
Dennis Prager knows exactly where the Green New Deal takes us.
This is communist. This is not even socialist, if there is any difference. The alienation from everything America has stood for that is embodied in the Green New Deal is remarkable. Liberty, goodbye. In fact, affluence, goodbye.
The Dennis Prager Show. Weekdays at 1, right before Sebastian Gorka at 3 on AM 970. The Answer.
The skills you can develop as a soldier in the Army National Guard can give you an edge in the high-tech job market of tomorrow. The Guard offers career training to take advantage of your skills in science, technology, engineering, and math that can help give you a leg up to a high-paying and rewarding STEM profession. Gain practical experience with emerging technology and equipment not found in the civilian world. The Army National Guard can get you started in an array of STEM-related career fields such as information technology, communication systems, special forces engineers, technical engineering, air traffic control, and chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear science. Get a head start on your career in an exciting new field while earning money to pay for college, all while serving in your own community. Log on to NationalGuard.com or talk to a recruiter in your area to learn about all of the STEM career opportunities available to you in the Army National Guard. Sponsored by the New Jersey Army National Guard. Aired by the New Jersey Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tweet us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. We're everywhere. AM970. TheAnswer.com.
I'm only happy when it rains.
Final segment of the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer. Follow me very easily on Twitter at Al Gattulo, Instagram at Gattulo. That's GATTULLO. Facebook.com/AGCraftBeerCast. Via email, albertg@nycradio.com. And don't forget, iTunes and Google Play. Just do a search for AG Craft Beer Cast. You can find all the shows on those two platforms. A little garbage. I'm only happy when it rains. Not necessarily. I like the rain, but I'm not a pluviophile, as Joe Piscopo likes to say that he is. I like sun, I like sand, I like the beach. Rain every once in a while, not bad. But when it's always raining, like we had last year, one of the wettest years on record, yeah, I'm not too crazy about that. So we'll get into the final segment with some of the beers that I had. And it's a short list this week just because I had just getting over a cold, didn't have a chance over the weekend, last weekend, to try a bunch of different things, but was out last Friday night actually shooting guns with my neighbors at a range in Union, New Jersey, and then we went for some beers afterwards. Finally got a chance to check out Two Ton Brewery, which I was very happy about. because it literally right around the corner from the shooting range in Kenilworth. But we'll get to that in a second. The folks from Samuel Adams sent me this link earlier in the week, a blog post that Jim Cook had posted. And I'm sure that many of you watch the Super Bowl. I'm sure many of you watch the Super Bowl commercials. I was kind of in and out with the commercials. I was at a party, so I really wasn't paying too much attention to the commercials. I think the only commercial that I ran for was when they showed the brief 30-second Avengers trailer, part two of Infinity War. I think I like bolted to the TV set, and I remember a friend of mine saying, "She's never seen me move that fast before for anything." And it's not necessarily true, but it was one of those things I really wanted to see. The rest of the ads I was kind of ambivalent about. Now, one of them, of course, for those who don't know, was the Bud Light advertisement talking about how Miller Coors uses corn syrup in their beer, or the Bud uses corn syrup or whatever. It's, they basically, listen, I don't understand why Bud Light had to, and AB InBev in general, had to go and attack the other beers. And again, this is not a craft beer thing. I didn't get that at all. You're making good money. Granted, Bud Light sales have dropped, but they're still making good money. But regardless, that's a business thing, back and forth or whatever. So Jim Cook wrote a blog on Sam Adams' website, and I will link to it so that you can read it if you wish. And he writes here, he says, "The debate over transparency and the use of less expensive ingredients in beer has been going on for centuries. There's a reason why Budweiser and Miller use corn in their base as opposed to actually using the proper materials. Corn syrup and rice are used for barley because it's cheaper. That's all it is. They're mass producing a beer, and it's cheaper for them. For them to use barley in all of their beers, to make their beers would be cost prohibitive for them. So they use corn and corn syrup and rice. So do you want that stuff in your beer? No, I don't. Especially when you finally start drinking, true craft beer, and the way these guys make it, it's a different taste. There's a reason why the oldest consumer protection law, as Jim Cook points out in the blog, is the German beer purity law. It stipulates that only water, hops, and barley can be used in German beer. This is why a beer like Weihenstephaner, where they get all the different flavors out of just four ingredients, is amazing. Now, every brewery can't do that. They have to add things to the mix to make them taste different ways. Especially here in America, we want, we want different flavor. We want choice all the time. Sometimes too much choice is a bad thing. And we're seeing that with a lot of mid-sized breweries. People aren't buying their beers anymore. But that's another argument. So, as Jim points out, the law, which dates to 1516, has been the foundation of German brewing and the reason that the taste and quality of Germany beer is respected worldwide. Cheaper substitutes for barley, like corn syrup, and rice, are all verboten. These adjuncts lighten the beer and reduce flavor. That's the whole point. They want you to drink more. That's why somebody buys a case of Bud Light, and you can go through six or seven of them without a problem, because it's a lighter taste. It tastes like water. So you'll drink more. That's it. Now, back in 1986, as Jim points out, he touched off a firestorm in the beer industry when he exposed Heineken and Beck's and other imported beers for using corn and sugar to lighten the beer that they had shipped to the U.S., So, and he said in the ads, "When we asked for Europe's tired and poor, we didn't mean their beer." So a lot of people were surprised that was happening. In fact, so surprised that Heineken changed its recipe to remove the corn and return to all malt brewing. Now, they probably suffered in sales, but they got people back to drinking Heineken. So, it's interesting. And I'm not going to go through the whole piece, but I think Jim brings up some great points here. As he points out, he says, "To American craft brewers, this corn versus rice versus corn syrup debate is as silly as dilly-dilly. It's like McDonald's and Burger King arguing about grilling versus broiling their burgers. Who cares? Fast food is still fast food. And let's face it, we've all eaten and enjoyed our share of Big Macs, Whoppers, and Gorditas. They tasted pretty good. No need to apologize. But don't confuse fast food with slow food." And he brings up a good point. Look, he's still making his beer the way it's always been made. You want a cheaper beer? Go ahead and drink that Bud Light or Coors Light.
if that's what you're looking for. But, you know, again, he thinks, Jim, that Americans value more and more the craft and artisanal ways of making beer and food. And he's, in closing in this piece, he says, I hope everyone will focus on natural, less processed, traditional ingredients and processes and reward brewers and food purveyors who put flavor first. Again, this is, you know, a major issue. And Jim brings up some great points, and I thank the folks from Sam Adams for sending this to me. Again, we're going to post this for after the show. You can take a look at it and read it. But we need to get to the end of the segment here. But, you know, Jim does bring up some good points. Again, I don't think you're going to change mass America into drinking craft beer. But if you keep changing a few people a little at a time, eventually, I think maybe you'll get, you know, out of 10 people in the room, maybe you get six of them to drink craft beer. You could only hope. I think if you took 10 people right now, I would bet you out of the 10 people in the room, maybe two people drink craft beer. The other eight don't drink it. So if we could get it to six in the next 5 years, that's pretty good. Maybe I'm overshooting it a little bit. Who knows? But we'll post that. We'll post that piece. And as Jim points out, it's kind of deja vu from when he pointed it out back in 1986. I don't discount what Jim has to say. Jim is very knowledgeable in the beer business. Real quick, went over to Two Ton Brewing last weekend. Great place. They really have a nice little place in Kenilworth. Very easy to get to from Routes 22 in the Garden State Parkway. It's maybe 5 minutes off the Garden State Parkway exit, and if you're coming from 22, it would be off the eastbound side. There's a McDonald's off 22 that you would make a right on. I don't know the street per se, but it's in Union. You'd know it. It's a huge McDonald's. You can't miss it. And got a chance to go in there. So tried a couple of different beers, had a flight. Hammer and Ale, their Imperial IPA. Very smooth, malty. Dug that one a lot. Then I had a Do What's in Your Heart, which got better as I drank it. I wanted a little bit more hop to that. It was more of a pale ale. I wanted a little bit more hop to that beer, and just didn't quite get it. Then I had their Belgian, I think it was a Belgian double, the James View. Spicy, sweet, smooth, very tasty, a very tasty beer. And then I had the extra special chocolate vanilla porter, which I've actually had before. And I think they did something to the recipe because it was better than I thought it was from the first time that I drank it. Love the mix of flavors in it. Had a different mix of chocolate and vanilla, and not too vanilla forward. Sometimes I think the vanilla gets too cloying in beer. But I think mixed with the chocolate, it's just right, and really a nice, easy drinking one. And then I had a full pour of their Rocket Jaw IPA. Citrus, hoppy, very nicely done IPA. It was really good. I really enjoyed it. Had a great time at Two Ton. Ended up, I think we got there at 9:15. They closed at 10 o'clock on a Friday night, and able to stick around for a little bit and chat with some of the people in there. And a woman who used to work at a bar that I still go to, Paragon Tap and Table. Katie was there. So we had a little reunion chatting up, you know, what's going on in our lives. And it was great. It's a really nice place. One of my neighbors pointed it out, and I think he's right. A little too dimly lit for me. I need a little bit more light in there. It had all the workings of kind of a speakeasy feel. Although they're trying to set up the place like kind of like in a comfort zone, kind of couches and stuff and wood tables and a big cement brick kind of that we were, you know, using. Interesting place. Very cool. Definitely want to check it out over in Kenilworth, New Jersey. And then I had from Cyprus, I was at a restaurant down in Hillsborough, the Landing, the pub, which another buddy of mine, Ilya, is managing down there. Had a great time down there. And we may be working on some things down there, too. But if you check out the pub, the food was fantastic. Talked to Chef Tony. Did a great job with the food. But they have a great local tap beer selection. Cypress Brewing's Baby Insane. Wow. Very light, juicy, an easy drinking, low ABV beer. I could probably crush 10 of these. It was so good. Definitely want to check out the pub at the Landing in Hillsborough. And like I said, we might be doing some things there in the very near future. But folks, we are out of time. My thanks to Jerry Crowley, Phil Boyce, Darren Yellen, Kyle Hurst from Big Alice Brewing, and Kelly Taylor from Kelso Brewing. New York City Beer Week kicks off at the Brooklyn Expo this coming Saturday, February 23rd. Jonathan Hack, one of the producers of a new documentary coming out on March 1st called Beers of Joy. And, of course, last but not least, the great Buddy Watson. Back Monday on the Joe Piscopo Show at 6 a.m. It'll be a best of. This is the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. Cheers, everybody.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.